Creating the Thrive Podcast, episode 17. Should you sell your craft online? After listening to this podcast, you know, which one leaps out at you? Do you want to sell online, or do you want to focus on markets or wholesale? And why? I'm Jess Van Den, and this is the Create and Thrive Podcast. A former school teacher, I turned my handmade hobby into a thriving business, and I also teach other creatives how to do the same. My goal is to help you learn how to turn your creative hobby into a thriving, profitable business. So let's get learning. Hey Thrivers, Jess here. Welcome to the show. This week I'm going to be talking to you about selling your craft online and whether that is a good idea for you or not. We're going to go through a number of questions I'm going to ask you so you can work this out for yourself. I'm still in lovely Southampton today, although we are about to get on a plane as I record this tomorrow and head over to Europe for about 2 weeks, which is super exciting. We're flying into Amsterdam and heading down to Eindhoven in the Netherlands, which is where some of my extended family live. My dad's actually Dutch and he emigrated to Australia when he was just a little boy, about 5 years old. And we've got some of his cousins who live in the Netherlands, and one of my dad's sisters lives in France and she is good friends with them. So she's meeting us there at second, third cousin's place, and we're going to stay with them for the weekend and meet some family. And then Nick and I are going to go head back with my aunt to her place in a lovely little village in the east of France. We visited them last time we were here and I can't wait to go back there again. And then we're heading back to Amsterdam for a few days to hang out with some friends. And I am so looking forward to seeing all the amazing houses and doing a cycle tour and all of those wonderful things. And the Van Gogh Museum. Oh, yeah, exciting times. I have not been to the Netherlands before. And as I said, my mother's actually American as well. So I've been to my motherland. I've been to America. But it's my first visit to my fatherland where my dad's from. So that's quite exciting. So, next week I'll be somewhere in Europe when I talk to you, but for now, still in England, and I'm going to take you through this. It's kind of like a little bit of a workshop today, I guess. So I want you to think about if selling on your craft online is a good fit for you, or whether you'd be better off selling at markets, shows, or to shops via wholesale and consignment. You could also do a combination of these things, but whether or not selling online works for you, it works for me. I love it. It's my almost sole source of income for my jewelry business. I'd say 98% of our sales are online, and that works for me for a number of reasons. It suits my personality, it suits my lifestyle, but it might not suit yours. I think it's pretty clear that you need to have a presence online, but that doesn't necessarily mean you definitely have to sell online. It might not work for you. I do believe no matter what, you need to have a website. You should have a couple of social media channels, mostly so that you know you can make a connection with your customers, and also so people can find you. People will go to Facebook and Instagram and search for you, so you really need to have a presence there so they can find you. So this decision is a very personal one, but let's try to make it an easy one by going through a couple of questions and a couple of points. The first thing is, it will take you longer to make money. There's no doubt about this. If you decide to focus on selling your craft online, it's going to take longer to make decent money. Markets and selling to shops as well allows you to make money on the spot much faster, as long as they're a successful market, than you know you'll get by building up an online business. Unless you have a lot of money to plow into getting traffic to your shop. Okay, so that's one thing to think of. You know, if you really need to get a good income flowing right from the get-go, it might be a good idea to do some markets and try to sell to some shops, because you'll get a nice chunk of cash from that. Online is more about the long game. You have to really be in it for the long haul, because it will take longer to get established. But once you're established and you're making sales and you're getting traffic to your site, you're going to be making money in your sleep, and you'll be making money every day as stuff sells over and over again. I mean, I love waking up in the morning and checking my email and seeing what sales have come in overnight. It's really fantastic. So selling online will mean you get smaller bursts of money more regularly, whereas markets and shows and wholesale will give you larger chunks of money, but less frequently. So which one of those sounds better? To me, I like the small bursts of money every day, and I don't have to schlep myself and all my stuff off to a market. It also suits me because I work in made to order, but more about that later. So number two is your item easily shipped? This could make a real difference. If you make small and or light items, selling online is pretty straightforward because shipping costs can be kept relatively low. And it's not too hard to carry a bunch of parcels to the post office. However, if you make large items or heavy items, shipping, especially internationally, can get really expensive. So you might be better off selling at markets or to shops in your town or city to eliminate this problem. Expensive shipping can definitely put off some customers. However, you'll be really surprised what some people are willing to pay for shipping if they really love what you're selling. And that brings me to number three, which is, are you happy to sell internationally? If you sell online, you're going to grow your business faster and make much more money if you're willing to ship all over the world. Now, don't be put off by slightly higher shipping costs or any other fears. It's well worth the effort of working out a range of shipping costs up front to get those international sales. Around 80-85% of my jewellery sales are international, mostly to the US, Canada and the UK, but I've also sold to countries all over the world like Italy, Singapore, New Zealand, not that that's very far away, Ukraine, all sorts of places. And it's really exciting. I love getting a new country under my belt. So, you know, don't be afraid about parcels going missing. Yeah, it will happen, but it's very rare. I sell and send thousands of parcels internationally per year, and I might have up to four or so go missing. And that's as likely to happen in Australia as it is with international shipping. So for me, lost parcels are just another cost of business. I write them off as expenses and I send a replacement. The language barrier might be something you're worried about as well, but don't be. I mean, all you have to do is pull up Google Translate. It's awesome. I mean, I love being able to write a message in English, putting it in Google Translate, and then send it to my customer in their native language. It's amazing. You know, it allows us to communicate across those language barriers. Just make sure you do put a disclaimer that you've used Google Translate in case you've said something awkward in your translation, though. So don't be put off by the risks of shipping internationally. You know, if you're afraid of, you know, the extra shipping cost or that things might go missing, yeah, it's a risk, but it's a very, very worthwhile risk to take. And business is risk anyway. So, hey, give it a shot, see how it works. Number four, is your work easily reproducible? Now, this is a big one. If you want to have a successful online craft business, at least some of your products really must be reproducible. Why is that? Well, when you sell online, you not only have to do the work of making your piece, you also have to photograph it, edit the photos, upload them, write a description, calculate shipping costs, choose your keywords, and on and on and on. So if you're doing this for one-of-a-kind products, unless this is the exception, they are very expensive, high-end products, you're going to hit a wall and you're not going to have enough time to make the products and do all this extra work and to make a decent profit while actually enjoying your life rather than just being a slave to your work. By having reproducible products, you do all this secondary work just once. Then you sit back and you can sell the same design over and over again. My most popular designs have sold hundreds and hundreds of times, and I've just done all of that extra work once, and I don't have to do it. All I have to do when an item sells is actually make the item and sell and send it. Each one is still unique and handmade. You know, every single ring is going to be different that I make, every single piece of jewellery. Sure, it's going to be made, you know, as close to the original prototype as possible, but it's still handmade with love. It's just because it's, you know, not completely different from every other thing I've made doesn't mean it's any less special. So that is a really big one. Is your work easily reproducible? And if it isn't at this point in time, I really encourage you to think about how you can make at least some of your products reproducible. You don't have to give up one-of-a-kind products altogether. Don't think I'm telling you that. Just that they shouldn't be the core of your range. You really need a reproducible range that's your bread and butter, the stuff that sells over and over again. And then you can put your creativity, your high-end creativity into those one-of-a-kind pieces, and you can charge a lot more for them because they're rarer. So number five, do you value face-to-face interaction over online interaction? If you're an introvert like me, then selling online is perfect for you because you can interact with your customers and potential customers on your own time at your own pace. You don't even need a phone number. I don't have a business number. Nobody ever calls me. I don't have a business number available. I work exclusively via email. And in the 7 years I've been in business, I've had one person ask me if they can call me. And I ended up Skyping with him because he had a number of questions he wanted to ask me. And that worked really well, and I'd be happy to do that in future. But I don't put it out there as an option. Everything else works perfectly fine via email, generally speaking. However, if you're an extrovert and you get energy from other people and the interaction with your customers and you love that face-to-face contact with them, then you might find selling online a bit disheartening because you don't have that immediate feedback. I mean, there's nothing stopping you from selling primarily online and still attending some markets here and there to get your customer fix, but it's something for you to consider. Of course, you can also still interact with your customers via email and social media. I do that every day, and I really love that. I really love hearing from happy customers. I love helping people find out, figure something out to make something that they love. I love getting photos from them. It's not like you don't have that customer interaction. It's just in a different format, which is great. Number six is, do you have the products to do markets? Because I've focused on online business and reproducible designs, I no longer do markets. The simple reason is because I don't have stock. I don't have anything to sell. When I make a new prototype design, I make it, test it out, then I photograph it, and then more often than not, I'll actually keep it for myself or Nick. I usually don't sell the prototypes. I like to have, let's be honest, I just like to have my own jewellery. Nick likes to wear some as well. I've convinced him to start wearing rings. It's awesome. So that means we have a nice bank of jewellery, our own jewellery to wear when we're out and about, which is a great way to market your work. People are always asking us to, they're looking at our hands and saying, oh, is that something you've made? And then you can start a conversation, which is awesome. So for me, markets don't make financial or time sense. I can make as much money online in a day as I make it in most standard markets, and I spend a lot less time and effort to do so. So for me, that works better for me. However, if you make the sort of thing where you've always got stock lying around, or you can make lots of stock quickly, then markets are probably a great idea for you. Number seven, do you like having your weekends free? This is actually a really important question, especially if you have kids or a family of any type or friends you like to hang out with. I mean, I have an awesome bunch of friends, but most of them have Monday to Friday jobs. And even though I can take a day during the week off to do stuff that I want to do, if I actually want to hang out with my friends, I have to do it on the weekend when they're free. So this is another reason I don't like doing markets myself. I just don't want to do work on the weekends if I can avoid it. I want to have that time free to do what I want to do with my friends and family. I also don't really fancy getting up super early on a Saturday or Sunday morning and schlepping myself and a car full of stuff to a market and then standing around all day in the hope that I make a few sales. No word of a lie, there's been many a time I've gone to a market and I've actually made more sales online while I've been at the market than I have at the market, which is kind of weird and disheartening. But, it just doesn't work for me personally. I mean, I've done plenty of markets and there are lots of fun elements. Like, I love interacting with my colleagues. I do love meeting my customers face to face. That's really rewarding. And I love to see how people respond to my work in person. But I can tell a lot of that by just attending a market rather than selling at one. And when I do that, I tend to spend a bit of money on my friend's stuff. So, That's my preferred thing to do. I prefer to go to markets and buy stuff from other people. However, some people, and you might be one of them, just love markets and everything about them. And if that's you, then go for it. But if it's really not something you enjoy, or that it doesn't work for your business, online is definitely the way forward for you. So number 8 is, are you willing to invest the time to learn how to take and edit stellar product photos? Because if you're not, you're going to struggle. So when you sell online, you're not actually selling the product, you're selling the photo of the product. You really need to invest the time in creating really, really, really fantastic photos. And if you're not willing to do that, I almost hesitate to say it, but don't bother starting, because you have to be competitive. You have to really have top quality photos these days, or you're going to struggle in competing with all of the amazing artists out there who do have top notch photos. I hate to say it. It sounds harsh, and I don't like doing that, but really, it's the number one thing you need to do if you want to sell online. It's so, so important. You need to have fantastic photos of your work, because the photo is what will sell your item. Now, that said, if your photos aren't stellar yet, don't let that stop you from at least getting started. You know, start where you are and do what you can. Then learn and experiment until you end up with those high quality photos. This might take you a week, it might take you a few months, it might even take a few years. It took me a few years to get to the point where I was really happy with my photos, but I learned a lot of lessons along the way, and I did make sales, and I grew my business and my network, so it was worthwhile. My challenge I always give when I talk about this is go back to my Etsy shop, my ethereal Etsy shop, and go look at the very first things I sold and see how truly awful my photos were and how far I've come. If I can do it, you can do it. I'm certainly not a trained photographer. I've worked it all out myself. So it is possible. So I don't think anyone's ever 100% satisfied with their photos, but once you can put them side by side with the best in the business and compete, you're doing okay. And of course, if you do need some help with that, make sure to head over to createandthrive.com and check out our guide to product photography. That has, it was written for me by Jeffrey Opp, who's a professional product photographer, and he's amazing. It's just such a useful guide. It takes you through how to use just a regular camera to absolute best of its ability, and we also touch on how to edit your photos, because that's really, really important as well. So if you do need some help with that, check out the Create and Thrive Guide to Product Photography. It's really useful. Okay, so number 9. Do you enjoy the process of selling and marketing? Because there's no way around it, folks. If you start your own business, you are now a salesperson and a marketer. No matter if you decide just to sell to shops in order to avoid having to sell and market your work direct to customers, you still have to market and sell your work to retailers. There's no way around this. So, do you enjoy telling your story? Because that's really all that marketing is, guys. It's storytelling. It's telling the story of your business. If you can change your mindset and come from the place of telling your story rather than thinking about selling your stuff, marketing becomes much more easier. It becomes much more authentic. You just have to be clear on who you are, what your brand is, and what you stand for, and tell the world about it, and come from a place of love and genuine passion for what you do, and that will shine through. So when it comes to selling online, it's the same thing. You need to enjoy that process of using social media, of you need to run a mailing list, all of those sorts of things to market your work and get it out into the world. So you need to enjoy that process, and you need to work out how you can enjoy that process. Number 10, are you happy to make less money selling to shops? So when you sell online or in a market, you of course get the full retail price of your goods. If you're selling wholesale or consignment to shops, you're getting half of that, so you're getting the wholesale price. Generally speaking, you'll get 50% of the retail price for your work via wholesale. If you're selling consignment, you should get a little bit more, maybe 60 to 70% of the retail price. But in that case, you don't get paid up front. You only get paid when your work sells, so it's a little bit more dicey. Consignment's a great way to get your foot in the door when you're just starting out, or to get into a specific shop or gallery that doesn't do wholesale. But consignment isn't really a viable way to make a living long term because the money's just too iffy. So if you want to focus on selling to shops, you really need to focus on gaining wholesale customers who end up being repeat buyers. And that's the way to grow a sustainable wholesale business. Just on that, if you do want to learn a bit more about wholesale, we'll be running our wholesale know-how course again in a couple of months. I'm not sure exactly when, but towards the end of the year, we'll be working through that. Now, of course, you should be pricing your products so you're making a profit on the wholesale price, okay? You should never be selling your work for wholesale below the point where you're not making a profit. You know, you need to be making a profit on the wholesale price, so you need to have it high enough. And if you're not doing that, don't start selling to shops because you'll end up running your business into the ground because you're not making enough money to support its growth. So if you want to be going, instead of selling online, if you want to go to the shop way, you will make less money, but you'll make bigger chunks of money. And depending on you, it might work for you and your business. And of course, number 11 is, do you have the time or the skills to set up an online shop? I included this one because it's often the excuse I hear from people as to why they're not selling online. Now, of course, you've got to remember that no matter what avenue you choose, it's going to take time to get and keep your business going. If you do markets, you need to invest time in creating displays, sourcing markets to sell at, applying, getting there, attending, you know, all of those sorts of things. If you're going to sell to shops, you need to research possible buyers, contact them, follow them up, do trade shows, so on. If you sell online, your time will be spent working on product photos, building and tweaking your website, sourcing new venues to sell on, etc. No matter which path you choose, it will take a good chunk of time to run and grow your business. But thinking about those three things I just mentioned, which one appeals to you? Which one do you love the sound of? Did one of those leap out at you and you went, yeah, that sounds like fun. Like, I really think I'll enjoy doing that. That's the one you should focus on. Definitely, you know, go where you're, when you're starting, go where you're comfortable with and what suits your product. You can always expand into, you know, different avenues later on, but don't, it's a lot harder if you try to do everything at once. If you try to sell online, like sell profitably online, sell to, shops and also sell wholesale all at the one time, there's just so much going on there that you'll probably struggle to keep on top of it all. So kind of pick one to focus on and make that your priority. Doesn't mean you can't do the others, but that one thing should be the thing you really focus on for a good chunk of time to really get your head around it. So as for skills with setting up online, photography is really the main thing. We've already talked about that. Because you can set up a shop so easily, especially if you use something like Etsy, where you don't have to know any coding or anything fancy. You just literally upload your pictures and your words and you're done, and they do all the techie stuff for you. Don't let a current lack of technical know-how stop you from going the online route, because you'll probably find it's easier than you thought it was to get started. So in the end, you know, this decision is going to come down to your products, your personality, and your business goals. Nobody can tell you the right way to sell your craft. It's something you have to work out for yourself. Of course, once you do work out which way you want to go, you can find folks who've done it before you who can help you figure out the how a whole lot sooner. And if you if you want to learn more about how to set up online or how to set up a wholesale business, wholesale-based business, we have courses on both of those things coming in the latter third of the year. There's Setup Shop for those of you who want to sell online, and there's Wholesale Know-How for those of you who want to sell via wholesale. So just pop over to Create and Thrive and check those out. All the information about what the courses are is there, but registration doesn't open until the courses are available. If you have any questions about this, or you have anything that any comments you'd like to make, make sure to pop over to the blog, look for episode 17 of the podcast for the show notes, and leave your comments below that. Also, you can chat to me on Twitter or Instagram. Just use the hashtag CTPodcast, and I'll be able to check it out. And tag me at Create and Thrive on Instagram or at Jess Van Den on Twitter. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear, you know, the thought process you've gone through, if you've, you know, after listening to this podcast, you know, which one leaps out at you? Do you want to sell online or do you want to focus on markets or wholesale and why? Get in touch and let me know. So if you want to subscribe to the podcast, that would be fantastic. You can do so on iTunes or on Stitcher. Just look for the Create and Thrive podcast and you'll be able to get all the back episodes there as well. If you can't find all the back episodes, they're all on the website. Just head over to createandthrive.com/CT podcast and you'll get a list of all of the previous episodes of the show. There's a lot of really good meaty content there if you have a creative business. And thanks so much for listening and visiting with me this week. It's been great to chat with you. I'm Jess Van Den. This is the Create and Thrive podcast. Bye for now. I'll see you next week.